This is Cheltenham Radio.
So now they make the run towards the top of the hill. They have three more flights of hurdles to take.
It's another one for Tom Skew and David Pike.
And Lord Windermere has won the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
You're listening to Cheltenham Radio online and on 87.7 FM.
You're listening to Cheltenham Radio with me, Rupert Bell, on 87.7M. And now we're going to take a full look back at what has happened over the last 4 days. 4 days that has been dominated by the novice horses who've provided so many exhilarating performances, ultimately capped by the best novice of them all, Coney Gree, taking on the experienced chasers to win the Cheltenham Gold Cup with a brilliant, bold, front-running display.
Three out in the Gold Cup. Coney Gree, Road to Riches. Jack Adam, the youngster on the inside. Then Holywell on his own. Sylvia Narco Conti can't go on. Carlingford Lock trying to stay on. Then Many Clouds and Coney Gree gallops on remorselessly. Leads by two. Road to Riches with two to jump. Jack Adam and Holywell. Nicoda Boinville and Coney Gree lead by two. Towards the second last. Road to Riches driven along. Jack Adam in third. Then Holywell in fourth place. Behind these on his own, Coney Gree jumping, standing the test at the moment. Road to Riches trying to launch a challenge. Jack Adam on the inside. Coney Gree carried towards the last by the roars of the crowd. Comes in one final leap over from Road to Riches and Jack Adam. And now the hill for the novice, Coney Gree. The jumping's behind him, wandering to the right on his own. Jack Adam on the far side. Coney Gree off a straight line, still in front. Jack Adam on the far side. And Coney Gree, inexperienced, no object, a novice, the first for 40 years, won the Gold Cup. Coney Gree beat Jack Adam. Third place for Road to Riches, Holywell on his own, Many Clouds, and behind the Smart Place.
What a performance. He had them at full stretch from a long way out, did Coney Gree. He was prepared to take them on early. Nicoda Boinville, we always thought he was going to be the one that would set the pace. But as that race developed, he just seemed to see some of the other horses just drop by the wayside, you know, so quickly. Sylvia Narco Conti had been sent on favourite, but he flattered to deceive. Lord Windermere patently didn't like proceedings and was pulled up before two out. He was always struggling, and Giant Bolster was also a big disappointment. But Coney Gree battled on, held off the determined challenge of Jack Adam. 7-1 was the price of Coney Gree. What a good decision for the Bradstock team to put the horse in the Betfred Cheltenham Gold Cup. Jack Adam, Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh, well, they didn't win this one, but he still ran a terrific race as a six-year-old at 10-1 chance with Road to Riches in third for Noel Mead and Brian Cooper. Well, after the race and the dust had settled, I caught up with the winning jockey, Nico de Boinville.
Well, Nico, that was the most fun I think anyone could have had on a horse. Never saw another one, just jumped for fun.
Exactly, no, I felt like I was out hunting. It was brilliant, it was great fun, yeah.
Talk me through the race, because there was obviously the concerns, he was a novice, but were you at any stage thinking, wow, what's going on here?
No, that was the racing public's concerns. That was never our concerns, you know. We knew he was good enough. That's why we ran him in, well, the Bradstocks ran him in the Gold Cup, and they had such confidence in the horse and that confidence in me, which just showed, I think, and it was very special to be able to ride a horse like that.
Were you nervous beforehand, knowing that there was a degree of pressure, it was a well-fancied horse as well, and, you know, as a conditional jockey still, you know, it is a big moment to be riding a horse so fancied for the Gold Cup?
It's a big moment, but I think, you know, working for the Governor, Nicky Henderson, he's been great in providing me with big opportunities on the big stage, and that's led me in good stead for a day like today.
Now, when you were going out on the final circuit, there were a lot of horses rowing in behind. What were you thinking going out on that final circuit?
Just to try and conserve a bit, and then once I got to the top of the hill, to really start stretching them. You know, that stamina is the key to him, and I know he jumps well, getting from A to B as fast as possible. So that was just all I had in mind, and just keep stretching them.
It seemed, what I could see, that you didn't make a mistake out there. He was absolutely foot perfect at every fence.
He was, yeah. We've done a lot of work on that. Alfie, the Bradstock son, is a good show jumper, and he's done a lot of work in the school at home, and I've been helping as well, and, you know, it's just a big team effort.
And so when you were coming up the hill, you veered off to the right, you got Jack Adam and Ruby Walsh looming large. What was going through your mind at that stage?
Please, please, hold on. But no, it's a great feeling and one I'm sure I'll always remember.
And the walk back and the Bradstocks, you could see it meant so much to them because of the family history.
Thank you very
and
much.
Just what it means. They're at the heart of the sport. That is what the sport's all about.
Big time. You know, they're the ones who keep the sport ticking over, and it's stories like this which really help up. They help the game, you know. They're not from, you know, they haven't got stacks of money and stacks of horses, you know, and it just shows that the small guys can do it at the top level.
And he's an 8-year-old. You've seen what some of the other novices around have won, the RSA and then Votor. I presume you'll be quite excited to take them on again because your horse can only, you know, he's still relatively young.
Yeah, and I was very impressed with Dom Poli as well. You know, he looked good. So, no, it's exciting and things to look forward to. But today is for about today and just try and enjoy the moment.
And for you, how much is it, you know, for you as a relatively, well, young jockey still, you've had your chances, but what does it ultimately mean to you?
Ah, the world.
Well, the dust has settled a little bit now after that really impressive victory from Coney Gree in the Cheltenham Gold Cup. And Chicky Oxie, well, we call owner, breeder, trainer, but what a...
Yes, well, no, we certainly bred it and reared it. And then with all our geldings, we always open it up to 10 because they're worth no more that day than the next day. No. Well, I don't know, they will be worth a bit more now. And so we opened it up and there are 10 of us and it's called the Max Partnership. He's a very difficult horse to train. He's very, I think they call him quirky. You never quite know if he's going to jump out of his skin or what he's going to do. And he's got very, very long spidery legs, which are very difficult to keep, you know, so that the torn muscles. So Sarah spends most of her evenings hosing him down and luckily they've got the crest beds and they spend a lot of time standing in the crest beds in running water. And I think that helps. And Carruthers, his elder brother, does the same.
And I know how much this horse means to Sarah because I was working for At The Races back in, I think, October or November when he was supposed to run at Plumpton and he got pulled out at the start. And it was, you know, you could tell how much at this, that early stage of the season, how much she thinks of this, or the whole team think of this horse.
Yes, I mean, that was absolutely tragic because the whole point was, you know, to go for the 60,000. And they messed us about and something rotten. And I suppose you've got to give them the benefit of the doubt. And the starter thought he was lame, but, you know, nobody else did. You know, and it would be nice if you had an apology, but you never do, because then you could forgive and forget and go on, but you never do.
And we're an hour out of the race. You've had time to let it sink in now. How are you feeling? What's going through your mind now?
I'm just thinking, I'm in a whirl about it. I'm just so thrilled for Mark and Sarah. I'm so thrilled for the small trainer. And maybe a myth about novices going in this. I think it was a very much the right decision because with Votor and Dom Poli, who, don't get me wrong, are beautiful. What, you know, that Votor is probably the nicest looking horse I've seen all year. And next year's Gold Cup is going to be very, very strong. So, you know, we're very lucky.
And I spoke to Mark around 20 minutes before the race and I said exactly that. What would you say to silence the doubters who say, why are they running this novice in the Gold Cup? And he said, watch this space. And that's what we did. And I think he answered his own question.
He's always jumped really, really well. And that you have to put down to Elfie Bradstock. Because he was trained and he jumped very, very tight in a school. And he'll jump way over 4 foot in a tiny school, you know, and it's taught him to manoeuvre himself and balance himself, I think.
And when you were watching the race, you saw him out in front. Nico was setting the fractions.
Watch.
You didn't watch, no?
I did. I watched a bit, and then at the last, around the bend, I was in the weighing room and in the PA, and I can't watch, really, then, so I don't see it.
And look into the future. Obviously, the Gold Cup is going to be the name for 2016.
I don't know. I'm not the trainer, but I would imagine we'd go for the Hennessy now, first in November, the first thing.
Yeah. What do you think your late husband John would say after today's victory?
Oh, I don't know, Sean. What would John? Sean, who knew John so well and did everything. I mean, John wouldn't believe it. He would not believe it.
Sean McGee, of course, we're referring to. What would he say? Do you think, Sean?
One of John's greatest ever phrases after he wrote about Mandarin winning in Paris in 1962 was, I can only thank God I was there. And, you know, today, Chicky and I, you know, it's a very emotional day, but John was here today.
Yeah.
And coming up that at that run in, I was screaming, not for the horse or the jockey, but for John. And I'm fairly overwrought, like a lot of people. But I think he would have loved the sheer idea of this mare that you bought for him to give him an interest in his old age, John's old age. And she produced such phenomenal horses. She produced the great Carruthers, a Hennessy winner. She's group now produced a Cheltenham Gold Cup winner. And it's all kept within the family with Sarah and Mark. And
the sister, the half-sister, went to be covered at 3:15 today by Cave Tara. So this one will be three quarters to Carruthers. And so the next sort of thing goes on. Also, I think John's pride in Mark and Sarah would be enormous.
In their
way that they've
handled
this.
The whole situation really. Not there was a situation, but the whole lead up to the race really well, haven't they?
They have, and I think he would be proudest of that, really, because he really wanted them to do well, and you know, and for them it's you know, it's a, when you've only got 10 horses. To produce a horse like that is amazing, really. Yeah.
Well, it's great to talk to you. Massive congratulations. You've gone have a nice glass of port now. Warm yourself up a little bit.
Thank you very, very much.
Brett Williams asking the questions of Lady Oaksea, Sean McGee, who knew Lord Oaksea so well. But Bradstock, a family affair in every sense of the word, and the decision to put Coney Gree in the race entirely vindicated. Really, it was probably never in doubt. As they've always said, this looked a very open race, 8 years of age, and they felt that this was the right time, the right place, particularly with some of the other exciting novice chasers emerging out of the pack, as proved during this festival week. But Coney Gree comes home as the 7-1 winner, and obviously some disappointments, many clouds, never really got in a blow. But for Coney Gree, all about that performance. It was exhilarating. No mistake as far as I could see and all of us could see. And they're coming out on top for the Bradstocks and Nico de Boinville. So cool he was as well. He never got ahead of himself. He just always had the total faith in the horse.
This is Cheltenham Radio.
You're listening to Cheltenham Radio with a look back of the highlights from the final day of the festival, and in fact the whole of the festival, with me, Rupert Bell. And we're going to take a look back now at the first race on the final day, the JCB Triumph Hurdle. Well, it was a race that promised much, and for Nicky Henderson, a great deal of hype surrounding his performers, his three, Peace and Co, Top Notch and Hargam. AP McCoy was on board Hargam, hoping to give the final day sellout crowd a great start with a win, but it wasn't to be, as favourite backers had something to celebrate, and Nicky Henderson definitely had something to celebrate.
Stars Over the Sea is creeping into contention. Devilment is creeping into contention. Pano Chocolat wants a piece of it. As they race now on towards the second last, still over three furlongs to go. Hargam on the inside. De Cosimo still, though, will have the lead as they cross over two out. It will be De Cosimo by a length. Hargam was over in second. Beltor was not fluent when he tried to make ground. They're making the turn in the Triumph, still over a quarter of a mile to go. It's Hargam on the inside with De Cosimo, looking for a little bit of racing room. There was Peace and Co. He was caught on heels, but now he swings back onto the bit. Top Notch is still there. Petit Parisien now begins to tread water, staying on his Devilment. They're racing inside the final quarter mile now, and it is Hargam on the far side. Peace and Co on the near side, held together, and between them is Top Notch and Daryl Jacob as they race down towards the final flight. Three look together as one. Top Notch will have the lead over the final flight. His stablemate to the near side is Peace and Co with a high head carriage, but he's been delivered to perfection by Barry Geraghty. He goes on by a neck. Six wins in the Triumph for Nicky Henderson. It was Peace and Co who beat Top Notch. Hargam back in third, Devilment in fourth, Beltor never nearer, and then Petit Parisien.
Well, it may be six wins in the Triumph Hurdle, but he also trained the first three home on the opening day of the festival. Peace and Co, such a striking look individual, winning under Barry Geraghty, the 2-1 favourite. Top Notch under Daryl Jacob just couldn't hold off the challenge. In fact, it all looked in the end relatively easy for Peace and Co, was in second at 7-1, and AP McCoy was third on Hargam. Well, after the race, Nicky Henderson spoke to Racing UK's Lydia Hislop.
And Nicky Henderson has just received the congratulations of Francois Dumoulin and everybody here, because it's a fantastic, already unprecedented 5 wins in the race, now 6, and a 1-2-3 to boot. I love the three-way photo at the front to celebrate. Well, how does it feel with that?
Well, you could not put them there together. I mean, they've all tried their hearts out, and it's not often you do go to the last with three upsides thinking, well, you can't surely throw this away now. And, you know, they've looked good all winter, and they've looked, if they were the top three four-year-olds virtually, you know, in the last couple of months, there were a couple that have come out and looked good, and, but, you know, they really did look as if they were the... But we had to run them all. You've got to when it comes to the, you know, this is the championship, and they had to take part. And Simon and Isaac were great. They said, listen, run them, two of them were theirs, the first and second, and they had to, and they were brave enough to let them both take their chance. You need to throw everything you can at these races, don't you? And Hargan's was great as well. Probably you'd have to say that rain went against him, but you know, he still ran a very, very good race.
And Barry was saying that he chose Peace & Co over Top Notch because Peace & Co has just got that kick, and you could see him waiting to unleash it as he approached the last.
He was still waiting just off the bottom bend, and he looked like he wasn't going to have a run for a second, but he has got gears, and Top Notch is a sweet sort of smaller version, whereas Peace & Co is a big, classy, he's got a lot of scope. Top Notch is just very tough and very brave and would love that ground, actually. But no, you'd be proud of them all and what everybody's done, you know, because it looked, if we were sitting on that hand, as I say, since Christmas, really, and it was just a matter of getting them all here. And, you know, when I say we haven't had problems, of course we have. They've all had issues and bits of this and bits of that. And getting, you know, we had to get all three here, and that's been a big effort from everybody's point of view.
Absolutely. And can you explain your knack with juveniles? Barry was saying that he thinks possibly it's because juveniles can be rushed at a crucial stage in their career, and you don't do that. You manage to, to feel your way.
They only have one or two runs before it. None of them have done any more than that since they've been in England, anyway. And yeah, I remember when first Bout won, it was only actually, well, he hadn't run 10 days before the Triumph. They don't want to be too busy, and hopefully, you know, these, all three of them have got big futures in years to come, so they won't minding a bit.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure they've got big futures. A fantastic 1-2-3 for you. Many congratulations.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Amazing achievement for Nicky Henderson, a 1-2-3 in the Triumph hurdle, and there was never any doubt once they turned into the straight. But Hargam and AP McCoy, he had actually said before, if rain came the night before, whether that would probably hinder the chances of his horses, and that proved to be the case with Hargam. Well, sadly, it wasn't to be a winning final day for AP McCoy, because the final race was named in his honour, the soon-to-be-crowned 20 successive years champion jockey. AP McCoy's, the Grand Annual, was named in his honour. He was on board Ned Buntline, who was the 4-1 chance trained by Noel Mead. The crowd, as you will hear, seemed to be sensing that the fairy tale could end with his last festival ride with a win, but it wasn't to be.
And it's now My Brother Sylvester, and on the inside, Next Sensation, followed then by the red cap of Festive Affair. Astrakhan on the inside is Croco Bay. Turbans making ground towards the outside as they got over the third from home. Then towards the inside, Turnover Civilla. And now being ridden along by AP McCoy is Ned Buntline, as they're now beginning to make the run down into the home straight with just two more fences to take in the AP McCoy Grand Annual of 2015. And it is now Next Sensation who goes on for Tom Scudamore, two in second place, now trying to stay on My Brother Sylvester, and then Croco Bay now towards the outside, staying on Turnover Civilla and Ned Buntline as they crossed over the second last. Next Sensation had the lead over Dick Dundee, who takes second. Here comes AP on the outside on Ned Buntline, and he's still got a chance in his own race. Here's the final fence. Next Sensation was out in front, but AP McCoy is in hot and persistent pursuit on Ned Buntline, and Next Sensation is paddling, but has he got enough in the tank? Ned Buntline cannot go on, staying on his East Lake towards the far side, but the finale will go to Next Sensation. East Lake got second, Croco Bay in third, but it's hats off to AP, who finishes fourth on his final ride on Ned Buntline.
Well, the victory of Next Sensation probably will get lost in the midst of times, as it will always be remembered as AP McCoy's final ride at the festival. And as you heard Mark Johnson describing there, did for a brief moment once they jumped the final fence think as if the story would have a perfect conclusion. But Ned Buntline ran out of gas coming up the hill. And next sensation, a real family moment as Tom Scudamore, riding for his brother Michael, produced, held on with next sensation, the 16-1 chance. 12 months ago in this same race, next sensation had gone off in a terrific style and announced himself as a potential superstar. But it hasn't really worked out since then. But today, given a really confident ride once again by Tom Scudamore with Michael Scudamore, there was tears aplenty from the Scudamore family following that success. But obviously there was plenty of emotion for Tony McCoy as he handed out the prizes after the race. But the Cheltenham Festival racegoers did have something to celebrate as far as AP was concerned at his final festival, because in the Ryanair chase, he gave them what they wanted.
Three fences to jump. It's AP on Uxexandra, who heads down the hill, still out in front, leading to Edouard in the red and yellow. And then Hidden Cyclone and Mafiel and Don Cossack. They're ahead of John Spirit and Double Ross, and behind those is Wonderful Charm. But they're heading now towards the home turn with two fences to jump. Uxexandra being closed on. Here's Barry Geraghty on the grey mare Mafiel, who's a length behind in second. Hidden Cyclone's been up there the whole way, is in third under pressure. John Spirit, of course, Specialist, is running on. Edouard is next. Don Cossack is trying to get back into it. Uxexandra, though, AP at the last, the second last, over it by two lengths to Mafiel. John Spirit has moved into third. Then comes Edouard back in fourth. One fence to jump. Uxexandra set a fierce gallop with AP McCoy, but he's over the last by two lengths. Mafiel is in second place. John Spirit behind this, and then comes Edouard and Don Cossack running on, but it's going to be a festival winner for AP. Uxexandra has made most of the running and has won it from miles out. Wins by a good three or four lengths. Mafiel in second. Don Cossack stayed on to be third. Edouard and John Spirit the next two home.
Bold front-running display from Uxexandra, the 16-1 chance. AP McCoy doing what he does best, grabbing the race by a scruff of the neck as Uxexandra won at 16-1, beating Marfioy, I should say, in second under Barry Geraghty at 5-1, and Don Cossack was in third, running on from a long way off at the 5-2 favourite. But, of course, that was a very special moment, and the cheers as he returned to the winner's enclosure were deafening and packed with plenty of emotion. Well, following the presentation of the race run in his honour, the Grand Annual, Tony McCoy spoke to Martin Kelly to reflect on his festival times.
Well, these sort of scenes we normally see after one of the championship races here at Cheltenham. Certainly not the last race on the final day, but AP McCoy going out with a fourth place finish in the Grand Annual, and Tony, really moving scenes coming back into the winner's enclosure here.
Yeah, look, firstly I'd like to congratulate Nick Sensation, Scuddy Moores, Mark Blanford and Regina McAuliffe on their winners. Fantastic for them. Look, it was very much appreciated. People here clapping on the way to the start. Finished fourth in the race and was getting cheered on the way back. Look, it's amazing. The crowd here, amazing. Racing people, Cheltenham people have been amazing. I very, very much appreciate it, and obviously I'm going to miss being a jockey here, that's for sure.
And how much have you been touched by all of the reaction all the way through the week to your final rides in the big races, and to every time you've gone out there's been a nice round of applause in the big races themselves as well?
Yeah, look, when I announced my retirement, I as it happened, I just wanted to try and get on with my job and come to Cheltenham as normal. Very honoured and very flattered by Cheltenham Racecourse and the Henderson family to obviously let the last race be named after me for this year. So that was very kind of them. And as I said, the people here all week have been fantastic, but the people in racing are always fantastic. And I will always be grateful to all the appreciation that they've shown me, and I appreciate them very much.
And Tony, getting up this morning, getting in the car, packing your bag, coming here for the final time, what was going through your mind?
I actually didn't think about it, but coming my final time, it's probably just now that it's hitting me that I won't be riding here at the festival ever again. That's quite tough.
And just sum up the week for us, it must have been so satisfying yesterday to get that final win in your final week on the board.
Yeah, it was. Like, I knew coming into the week it was going to be tough, as it always is at Cheltenham. And it was brilliant for Ruxiandra to give me an Alan King and obviously JP and Noreen and the family to give me the thrill that I got on Ruxiandra. It's days like that that I'm going to miss, you know, as a jump jockey. That's a proper adrenaline rush, riding a horse that attacks his fences the way he did. And I'm really going to miss that.
And looking back over the last 25 years, is the one abiding memory you'll take away from a particular Cheltenham Festival?
Well, I've always been someone that's always looked forward all my life, but I'm going to have to start looking back now because there's not much to look forward to. Winning the Gold Cup and synchronised was one of my best days in racing. So, and the Gold Cup is the pinnacle of our sport, and obviously to stand here after winning the Cheltenham Gold Cup is a day every jockey should dream of, and I was no different than all the others.
Well, it's given us years of pleasure, ladies and gentlemen. Show another big hand, AP McCoy.
Well, it was great scenes in the winner's enclosure, and you could sense there from AP McCoy what it has meant to him riding these winners. He now, as he says, will be looking back on his Cheltenham Festival career, and they're reflecting that Synchronise was the horse that gave him his greatest moment, because of course it was a horse trained by John Joe O'Neill and in those colours of JP McManus. Well, punters on the final day of the festival had flocked in their thousands to see AP McCoy, and we caught up with a few of them before the Gold Cup.
It's day four of the Cheltenham Festival 2015, Gold Cup Day, the one they all want to win. But a sad day for some in the national hunt world, as it says cheerio from the Cheltenham Festival to one of its most beloved jockeys and a very well-loved Irishman.
My name's Robbie from Burnham-on-Sea. Just to say happy retirement and winning some money today. That's all I'm going to say.
My name's Robert Johnston. I'd like to say to McCoy, best of luck. You've been a great servant to the horse racing industry, and hope you get winning today.
My name's Roger Carew. It's the best thing you've ever done. I'm only joking.
Retire, you mean?
Retire, good luck.
My name's Johnny, I'm from Boom. He's a great little fella.
Big Biff.
Oh yeah, Dave Cork Ireland. I've lost a lot of money on Tony over the years, but I've won a few pounds as well, so he's been a good jockey, and all the best and fair play, like, you know.
Jason Glenn, I'm from Derby. Tony McCoy, proper legend. Hope he wins a Gold Cup. What a legend.
And any memories of backing McCoy?
Yeah, for me, like, racing, the only thing that got me into racing was Tony McCoy. Was seeing my dad watch Tony McCoy and win ridiculous amounts on Tony McCoy. Just anything about Tony McCoy, I'm there, I'm on it.
He's a people's champion. Yeah. He picks them horses up and gets them over the line, and that's what it's all about.
I'm Mary Fitzgerald from Cork, and we wish him luck in his retirement, and we're hoping that he'll win today.
Simon James from Worcester, just like to say, McCoy, you're an absolute inspiration to a man who's three times your weight. Thanks very much. All the best.
Hello, my name's Shan Harris, and we've come out from Cornwall this morning. I'd just like to pay tribute to AP McCoy, and I'm going to put a bet on him in the Gold Cup. I don't think he's going to let the last one go without a fight, so come on, Tony.
Neil from Southampton, tribute to Tony McCoy, he's an absolute legend.
JJ from Offaly, the big man who's the best there ever was. You'll never see the likes of him again.
My name is Eamon Mee, I come from Glenmary in the county of Galway. I would say he's the greatest ever, like, you know, never be replaced, like, you know. Yeah. And good luck to him, to his retirement. Yeah.
My name is Ryan from Dublin, and he's a legend. You'll never see the likes of him again, ever. Who will ever beat that record?
Brendan Barlow, I'm from Ireland, and McKay is a legend. That's it, simple.
Bill Brannigan from Cork, and we will never again see the likes of McKay, never. He is the king of National Hunt Racing, and I sincerely hope that he gets his best farewell in the Gold Cup.
Emotional stuff there, but sadly it wasn't to be for AP McCoy's fans, but he has provided so many memories. We will definitely miss him, But my goodness me, he has given us so many years of happy memories. When you think back since 1995, when he first rode at the festival, he was winnerless that year. He rode his first winner in 96. Only one year subsequently after that, he didn't ride a winner, which was in 2005. But champion hurdles, gold cups, well, now it's all over as far as AP McCoy is concerned here at the festival.
This is Cheltenham Radio.
You're listening to Cheltenham Radio with me, Rupert Bell, looking back over some of the highlights now of the rest of the festival. And we're going to start with the champion hurdle on the first day, the Tuesday. And in the race, we had, of course, the big two, as far as the market were concerned, were Faheen from Willie Mullins' yard and the new one representing the domestic challenge. Willie Mullins had excellent entries in Arctic Fire and, of course, the dual champion hurdler, Hurricane Fly. And it turned into a Mullins romp.
Now they're really races. They come down the hill towards the third last. And it's Faheen who's just in front. Jeski, though, is beginning to get right into it. The new one has just been pushed along briefly, but he's still there pitching on the outside in third place. Arctic Fire covering the moves with Hurricane Fly on the inside. They're really speeding towards the second last now, and Faheen is just in front still. Now he's being asked, Ruby, to pick up. Here's Jeski on the outside with a new one. Hurricane Fly is not out of it by any stretch of the imagination. He's moving into fourth place on the inside. Then Arctic Fire, and Faheen is pouring it on as they race up the hill in the Stan James champion hurdle, and Faheen is being a stretch clear from Jeski, the defending champion. Then Hurricane Fly and Arctic Fire. Here's the final flight now, and it's Faheen and Ruby Walsh clear by three lengths. Arctic Fire, his stalemate, is after him, but it's Faheen who's bounding clear up the hill, and he is a machine. Faheen maintains his unbeaten record, and it's a treble for Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh. Faheen's a champion. Arctic Fire in second, Hurricane Fly third. A 1-2-3 for Willie Mullins. Then Jeski, the new one, followed by Kitten Rock, and then Bertimont, and Vanitor was last.
And so Faheen wins as the 5-4 on favourite. The old voice is starting to go with Arctic Fire in second and Hurricane Fly in third. A 1-2-3, as Mike Catamol said in commentary. Wonderful display by Faheen, the machine. Many people thought that he was never likely to get beat, and he proved that to be the case. And Ruby Walsh had the privilege of riding the horse to success.
Oh, Ruby, this is turning out to be quite a day.
Yeah, no, that's a massive relief as well as enjoyment. I mean, to get off Hurricane Fly isn't easy. but, you know, he travelled lovely in front. Was a bit awkward at the second last, but he came back on the bridle quick. And I trusted that he had a good turn of foot, and he quickened up really well for me off the bend. Pinged the last, and he was never going to get outstayed from there. So it was brilliant. But I know the betting suggested for a long time, but to get off Hurricane Fly wasn't easy. And he's run the blinder. Arctic Fire finished second. Look, whatever way you look at it, I mean, Willie's horses are in some order.
Just watch your back.
We have the 1-2-3 here, the 1-2 and the Supreme. Look, it's a huge team effort, and it's amazing to be part of this team.
You mentioned that turn of foot from the bend. It's like the turbo kicked in.
Yeah, and he finished home. He was doing a whole lot from there home. Yeah, he has a really good turn of foot. He showed that last year in the Neptune. And yeah, he's good, isn't he?
He is. Is this the best feel he's ever given you?
I'd say so. It's his biggest challenge. They're the best horses he's run against. You know, I worried whether the form was in the book beforehand, but it's definitely in it now.
Well done.
Cheers, thanks.
What a day.
So that is Ruby Walsh after the triumph of Faheen in the champion hurdle, and Matt Holmes of Betfred is here to reflect on that. In a sense, it was the machine proved to be it, and he looked just so exciting. And if we're looking ahead 12 months down the line, Faheen is in pole position to prove that he is going to be a very hard nut to crack next year.
Yeah, we've been treated to some fantastic performances, haven't we, here at Cheltenham this week. But Faheen on the first day, 6-4 favourite for next year's champion hurdle. He really will take some dethroning.
And when you look at that performance, Willie Mullins with first three home. Of course, Michael Dickinson, he managed to get the first five home in the Gold Cup. But I think in the modern era, where the racing is perhaps much more competitive, and it's not taking anything away from that performance, but to do it in that race and in this era, you know, that is, that is one of the great training achievements.
It was a fantastic feat, but if we look at it as a whole, William Owens has got such strength in depth, it's quite, it's something special. I mean, the guy who's getting these horses over is just unbelievable. And say, to train the first, second and the third in a championship race on these shores is just one brilliant achievement.
Okay, well, he did that with great style and conviction, so we're excited about next year. But in the Queen Mother Champion Chase, the highlight of Wednesday's card, it was the eagerly awaited showdown between Sprinter Sacra, trying to come back and prove his well-being again after a battle with all kinds of setbacks, and last year's winner, Sire de Grugy, who'd proved that another horse who'd had an injury-plagued winter. Dodging Bullets, though, had proved to be the form horse in the other big championship races in the lead-up to the festival, and Dodging Bullets confirmed that he's the best two-mile chaser of this season.
So racing towards the left-hand turn at the top of the hill, Special Tiara's lead has been whittled down now to about two lengths. Dodging Bullets getting a nice toe into the race, with Summersby running a blinder on his outside. Now Sprinter Sacra goes into fourth place for Barry Geraghty as they freewheel down the hill, followed by Mr. Mole. Sire de Grugy appears to be labouring a bit. He's being pushed along as they come down the hill towards the last three fences here in the Betway Queen Mother Champion Chase. Special Tiara still the lead as they go to three out. Took it just from Summersby and Dodging Bullets. Sire de Grugy and Sprinter Sacra behind them, racing in fourth and fifth, but both just being niggled along briefly. Mr. Mole is under a bit of pressure. They've got to run now before they come down towards the last two fences here in the Betway Queen Mother Champion Chase. Dodging Bullets and Special Tiara from Summersby. Sire de Grugy's being pushed along. He's gone past Sprinter Sacra, and it doesn't look as though Sprinter's going to do it today. They're coming up towards the last two fences. Dodging Bullets is in front. He jumped it in front of Special Tiara. Only just though, Summersby rolling back the years on the near side is coming there with a strong looking run, and then Sire de Grugy, the final fence, and it's Dodging Bullets just from Summersby and Special Tiara, and he's really tired, Dodging Bullets, but he's digging deep. Dodging Bullets, Santrist and Davis really powering up the hill. Summersby in second place from Special Tiara in third, and Dodging Bullets is going to win the champion chase for Santrist and Davis and Paul Nichols. Summersby in second, then Special Tiara, Sire de Grugy only fourth today, followed by Simply Ned Cervello, sizing Europe, and then last was Mr. Mole. I think Sprinter Sacra has been pulled up by Barry Geraghty.
Yes, Sprinter Sacra was pulled up. Dodging Bullets, who were horse bred by Frankie Dettori, coming home to win as the 9-2 winner. Summersby running the race of his life, the 11-year-old at 33-1. And Special Tiara wasn't also running a huge race at 18-1 back in third. But Dodging Bullets had proved to be the best. Paul Nichols couldn't believe the starting price of 9-2. Kept on saying he's the form horse. He spoke after the race and gave this reaction.
This is a tremendous training achievement, I think, because when you think about this horse, he's come to the festival three times and hasn't managed to hit the frame. Can you explain how you've turned him into this horse that's won three Grade Ones?
But mentally, he was really immature and he used to get himself fairly stressed. I think, was it 2 years ago, he ran the Supreme and ran absolutely shocking. Never found out why, to be honest with you. Last year, he ran a little bit better, but he always went off in the spring. Went to Aintree, ran terrible. And like Conti, after we found out that Conti was suffering from ulcers, I thought, well, perhaps it's the same with this horse. In that tails off in the spring, he had exactly the same problem. So we and it tinkered his breathing in the autumn, tongue tied the last three times, which he's won, because when he ran here and got beat, he actually choked from the back of the second last home. So he put a tongue tie on, which he would never have taken before, and the whole little things have all worked. And it's just like, it can take forever to learn about a horse and find out, and I'm always trying to think why they're not performing to the best level, and hopefully with him and with Cervinaco Conti we know why now.
Yes, and he himself has matured, presumably.
Absolutely, but he's not hurting anymore, and that makes a massive difference to them. I think they get stressy, and so he's basically been suffering the same, exactly the same as Conti, and they're both treated the same. And I think they both turned around the same, and so hopefully it'll all go well for Conti on Friday.
And it was a race about which there was a lot of talk going into it. What were you feeling about it as you approached the course today?
Well, I was fairly confident, but I didn't let the horses do the talking a little bit. I couldn't believe why he wasn't favourite on form, but I also understand why, you know, the past stars are always, you know, sometimes one's head rules your heart, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Heart rules your head. And Well, I thought he should be favourite. And this morning when I looked, he was 6-1. I just thought, I can't believe why missed a trick. And so I thought the form was good. We knew he was good. And he's gone out there and nicely confirmed the form with Summersbee from the Tingle Creek. Would like the ground a bit slower than it probably was today. I was praying for it to rain overnight. But anyway, he's done the job nicely. Won't run again this season. We'll, you know, defend our crown next year.
And how about the ride that Sam has just given him?
Brilliant. He's just so much more confident. And now he knows I can just tell him, go and do, you know what you're at. It's, you know, like anything, it takes a bit of bedding in. But he's done awesome this year. And, you know, it was a tough decision at the time to make, to replace Darrell with Sam. But I was looking more to the future than anything else. And sometimes you have to make tough decisions. And it's a good decision.
Yeah, this is the start of
Darrell's a very, very good jockey, great mate, and if ever I could give Darrell a good winner, I will. But I was looking for the future a little bit and wanted someone on the team that was younger, and it just worked out well for everybody.
Well, this day could be the start of a long and lasting and brilliant association between the two.
Well, hopefully. I mean, we're all very fond of him. He rides well, and he's just, you know, a super lad, and, you know, the most important thing, everybody in the whole team likes him.
Congratulations to you and that team.
Thank you very much indeed.
Wasn't a bad day for Paul Nicholls on that day. In fact, he had three winners, but clearly dodging bullets. Matt, Holmes of Betfred, that was a performance you want to see. You want to see the best of that season confirm that he had the right to come in there and then go and win a champion chase, even though people are already picking holes in the form.
Yeah, as a bookmaker, obviously very aptly named after what happened to us on Tuesday, but the immediate reaction was to crab the form, with Summers being special, Tiara being behind. Obviously Sprinter Sacra disappointing, Sider Grugy disappointing, Champagne Fever not turning up, but, you know, he did what he had to do. He battled really gamely up the hill, and he's still got time on his side, and we put him in at 4-1 second favourite for the champion chase next year.
Well, we definitely like that performance. It was a great effort from Paul Nicholls and Twist and Davis, that partnership gathering momentum. Well, on the third day after Uxie Zondra's success, which we heard a little earlier, of course, giving AP McCoy his one winner at the festival, the Ladbrokes World Hurdle looked very open. No defending champion, but Paul Nicholls held the key in the race as he saddled the top two in the market, Safir Dure and Zarkander. But for Warren Greatrex and Gavin Sheehan, it was a red letter day.
Three from the finish. Cole Harden it was who led over it. Again at the back of the field, Abyssial landed slightly on all fours. So now this run down towards the second last. Cole Harden it is who shows the way. Cole Harden by a length from Rev to Civil. See You at Midnight running a big race in third on the inside of Entompore 2. Safir Dureux, the pink jacket on the inside of Zarkander. Then Lieutenant Colonel Jetson, Whisper's been forced wide on the course. Four deep on the outside of Blue Fashion as they all jostle for position on the run down towards the second last. Cole Harden leads. Rev de Civila pushed along. Entompore 2, See You at Midnight. Zarkander travelling notably powerfully back in the pack. Then Safir Dureux, Lieutenant Colonel. Whisper making ground towards the outside of Jetson at Fisher's Cross is following him. A lot of chances too from home. Cole Harden still in front. Zarkander makes a bad mistake. A serious one just when he was beginning to improve. See You at Midnight moves through into second place. Entompore 2, Safir Dureux, Rev de Civila, Zarkander given time to recover. Then Whisper and Jetson behind these. Cole Harden is still out in front. See You at Midnight. Whisper now coming with a challenge. Safir Dureux towards the far side, but Cole Harden is battling on well and still leads the World Hurdle field. Safir Dureux in second place. Then See You at Midnight. Whisper and Entompore 2, Zarkander and At Fisher's Cross, but down towards the last. Cole Harden is going to have a three-length lead over Safir Dureux. Cole Harden is over. Safir Dureux with two lengths to find. Then Zarkander and At Fisher's Cross. Cole Harden has been out in front the whole way. The wind operation is going to work, and Cole Harden will make every single yard. Cole Harden wins the Ladbrokes World Hurdle. A punch of the air by the rider Gavin Sheehan for Warren Greatrex. Safir Dureux second, tight third Zarkander. That mistake at a crucial stage involved with At Fisher's Cross, and Entompore 2 and Whisper.
Something about front runners at this year's festival, and Cole Harden was another one who's come through some problems, but my goodness me, he just jumped for fun and kept it on going. I suppose the unlucky horse in the race was without question Zarkander, who clobbered, I think, the second last and then really lost momentum, and from there on was always playing catch-up, but he ran on for a third. But Cole Harden, Gavin Sheehan, may have had a little bit extra in the locker, but jumping is the name of the game here at Cheltenham. 14-1 winner. Safir Dureux, 5-1 favourite. Probably now going to switch back to to the larger obstacles. And Zahir Kanda, well, he's former winner of the Triumph Hurdle, always gives of his best, but jumping just let him down back in third at 6-1. Matt, what do you make of it? Cole Hardin, such a nice performance from Warren, from the horse. And Matt, we'll hear from you in a moment, but let's hear from Warren Greatrex, who spoke to me after the victory.
This is a day that you will remember for the rest of your life. You've made the big time.
Yeah, yeah. And all I'm worried about is I kept watching the replays and me crying. I mean, I was brought up with the Duke and he'd be really cross now. But, you know, you don't know until it happens. And, you know, you'd be happy winning a handicap or ending it. But a grade one against the big boys, we're a young team. We've just gone and done it.
Do you feel, you know, that this is, you know, sort of almost, you know, you've Chelsea's and you're suddenly taking on the Willie Mullins and you've arrived at the big time when you get a performance like that out of your horse?
Yeah, yeah. We believed in the horse and I knew he'd been running well all year, but we had a problem and the problem was rectified and I just knew with the better ground, I was praying the rain would stay off and I knew with Gavin, he knows this horse inside out. But, you know, to do it from the front, you know, heart on your sleeve sort of thing. And I just knew going to two out, I was just praying for him to jump, ping two out, and then they were going to have to do something to catch us. And he pinged off the bend, and I thought, if he jumps the last, they won't get by him.
Doing it from the front, as you say, that is the hard way quite often, but the horse loved every minute of it.
Yeah, he's a real tough horse, and he's a real strong galloper. He's not very quick, but he'll go that gallop. And last year, when we took him after here, he ran the Neptune here and was beaten by Faheen, but he led Faheen into the straight here. And then we went to Aintree, and I remember Gavin coming back in, and he got beaten by B-Day. He said, I should have gone quicker. And I said, well, half of them were beat halfway. He said, I should have gone quicker. So, but that was on good ground, and then one at Weatherby. But during the winter, I was struggling.
And then he's had this wind operation, but how do you put on the lid on the expectations when you're coming into this, knowing that this is a horse that could deliver the performance of a lifetime for you as a trainer?
But after the wind up, we never missed a beat. And my head lad rides him every day, and we were confident. But when you're confident in your own self, you're not confident taking on the big boys. But we knew we had him in the best we'd ever had him. And at the ground, we knew he'd ping off it, and he'll die for you, you know. And that's a key. In races like this, you need to go through the pain barrier.
And were you going through the pain barrier as you were watching those final stages? What were the emotions?
Well, you know, I followed this. You know, my dad's a farmer on Dartmoor, and this is something I've always dreamed of doing. And you're watching it, and you're watching it. Oh, God, I'm never sure for words you can ask anyone, but I was absolutely gobsmacked. I'm thinking, well, we've gone and done it, and then cried like a girl.
Well, I can still see that sort of wide-eyed look of amazement. You're still pinching yourself. That's what you feel like to me. You're going, has this just happened?
Well, yeah, because I wake up in the morning and I think it hasn't. And, you know, you expect the Nichols and the Mullins and the Pipes and this and that to win these big races. But we've won a grade one at the Cheltenham Festival. Unbelievable.
What a performance from Warren Greatrex. And seeing the pictures of him after that horse won, he was in floods of tears, Matt, wasn't he? And just meant so much. He's had a few difficulties, you know, fell out with a previous owner and then had to rebuild his operation. But now he's one of the coming forces, and that just confirmed it. And you could see, you know, from what it meant, and that's what this sport does to so many people. It gets you right under the skin.
Yeah, I turned around and I saw it on the big screen, his emotion just sort of pouring out of him, and it was obviously something special. And you know, this little horse, he's gone out and he's done it the hard way, hasn't he? He's gone out from the front, he's jumped well. I think he's had some problems this season. I remember watching him here throughout the season, he jumped to his left quite violently a few times. So whether he've ironed out that issue or whether he had something causing him unease. But, you know, we went back to the beginning of the season, he was impressive at Weatherby, people were crabbing that form. But you know, he's come out on the day that matters and he's done it really well from the front.
And obviously for next year, they're hoping that he stays fit and fresh for next year. Obviously, we had no more of that, the defending champion in the Ladbrokes World Hurdle, but Cole Hardin did it extremely well. Well, those are the main championship races. Now, with novices really dominating the headlines ultimately in this year's festival, with some stunning performances, with Willie Mullins really, I suppose, holding the aces in the pack. And with on the first day, he had a terrific day with four winners, three ridden by Ruby Walsh, with Duvan opening up proceedings, taking the Supreme Novices Hurdle, easy as you like. But again, in the Arkell Challenge chase, the Racing Post Arkell Challenge on Tuesday, Underso was just a flying machine.
Three out here in the Arkell. Underso, steadied at it by Ruby Walsh. Another beautiful leap. Vibrato Valtat got in a bit tight. Godzone is challenging him for second. Joss's Hill moves into fourth. Three Kingdoms is next. And then the others really struggling to try and pick up this leader. Underso comes down the hill now. Long run before they get to the last two fences. Godzone now goes into second place within two lengths of the leader. Then comes Vibrato Valtat, followed then by Joss's Hill, who continues to battle away as they turn for home here in the Arkell. It's Underso in front. Comes towards it with a lead of 2.5 lengths. Godzone on the outside, looking pretty dangerous though, as they go down towards the final fence. Underso now has to dig deep here. He leads by about a length from Godzone. Joss's Hill in third is stangled powerfully up the hill. They go. Underso is the leader in the Arkell as they race inside the final furlong. He's clear by 5 or 6 lengths, and it's going to be 2 out of 2 at the festival for Mullins and Walsh. Underso makes every yard most of the way and wins the Arkell comfortably. Godzone was an honourable second, followed by Joss's Hill, then Vibrato Valtat, and Court Minstrel stayed on for fifth.
Well, it was breathtaking, wasn't it, Matt Holmes? And in fact, that was the... Well, they'd had the first two winners, Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh. 2-1 favourite, Duvin. 6-4 on Underso. How good was that one?
Absolutely breathtaking. I said in all the previews before the festival that Underso, for me, was the most exciting chaser I'd seen probably since Kato Starr came over to these shores. But he got to his heels. It's like he had the audacity to get there because he just flew up the hill. The last two jumps were absolutely brilliant. And he's obviously a clear 7-4 favourite for next year's champion chase.
Well, he was extraordinary, but... the day obviously began with Willie and Ruby winning the first and second, then the fourth with Faheen, and then bookmakers were quaking, punters were anticipating, because Annie Power was sent off the odds-on favourite, and for many, she looked as if she was going to win.
Three more to jump in this OLBG Mare's Hurdle, and they begin the downhill run towards home, and Carol Spirit is sent on. It's a bit of a puzzle in second. Mischievous Millie, Emily Gray, Centasia right in behind them. Annie Power is there. Swing Bowler still making progress. Polly Peachum behind those. Then Glenn's Melody as they take the third last, and over that one, it was Emily Gray and Carol Spirit together. Annie Power is a length off them. And here's Glenn Melody now in the yellow jacket. Bit of a puzzle with those, but it is now Annie Power who's coming through to take it up as they jump over the second last. She moved through to a length and a half lead to Glenn's Melody. Bit of a puzzle, the Pirates Queen behind those, then Polly Peachum and Carol Spirit, but as they turn into the home straight, the four-timer is on. Annie Power and Ruby Walsh showing in front, but Glenn's Melody, her stablemate, is the danger as they approach the last flight. Bit of a puzzle behind them in third position. Annie Power at the last flight. He's down! Annie Power has gone, went in front of the last. Glenn's Melody, last just runner up to Polly Beecham. Bit of a puzzle with a chance as well. Glenn's Melody, but now Polly Beecham, the far side, has come to join it. It's very tight between them. Polly Beecham and Glenn's Melody together. Bit of a puzzle between those, and the Pirates Queen is home in fourth.
Yes, so many people basically expecting to celebrate a huge payout. Annie Power, she was in cruise control coming to that final flight in the Mayor's Hurdle to give Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh four winners each. And while a trainer has saddled four winners in a day, and of course Willie Mullins did that with Glenn's Melody winning with Paul Townend on board, it would have been the first time that a jockey had ridden four winners in a day and for the same trainer. And betting slips were ripped up. Bookmakers Matt Holmes of Bretford breathed the hugest sigh of relief.
Oh, like you would not believe it. Obviously, she was almost, you know, she was in, wasn't she? It was going to be a massive payday for punters. They were emptying our satchels, it was already there, and then just that big wow moment. It was like the whole course was just deflated. It was such a shame.
And I think, I mean, I spoke to Willie Mullins about it, and he said, were you counting your chickens? He said yes. And I think in Ruby Walsh's mind, it may have been that he was already celebrating the success because she hadn't have put a foot wrong. That was what was so surprising. And you heard it in Ian Bartlett's commentary. you know, she's down. I mean, that was it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was just a proper, it was one of them unbelievable moments. She seemed to jump it okay. She's just clipped it and she's, you know, not got the landing gear down. And it was such a shame. But the main thing is she's up. She was fine and be interesting to see where she goes now.
Well, whatever. It was ultimately the defining moment of the opening day. Well, moving to the second day of the festival, I suppose that outside of Dodging Bullet's performance in the Betway Queen Mother Champion Chase, Don Poley, again representing Willie Mullins' yard, produced a performance of real potential to win the RSA.
Don Poley is being pushed along for the first time in the race now as they go across towards the open ditch at the top of the hill, which is four from the finish. He's getting closer, and King's Palace will lead them towards the ditch now. And a big lead. He reached for that, or too much almost. Made an error, and Don Poley is back on the bridle again and draws alongside King's Palace. Southfield Theatre racing in third place, followed then by the young master, Adriana de Mott, creeping into it all the time under Ruby Walsh, with Wounded Warrior behind her, and then If in Doubt, who appears to be struggling. They're racing down the hill then with just three more fences left to take in the RSA chase, and King's Palace and Don Poley are taking each other on here. Southfield Theatre is poised to challenge on the inside. They're coming down to the third last now. King's Palace and Don Poley. Southfield Theatre got in a bit tight there. Adriana de Mott now moves up into fourth place. The young master has run his race. He's well beaten. Wounded Warrior is trying hard to get into it. If in Doubt, leaving it very late. They're coming down then towards the entrance to the home straight. Two more left to take. Don Poley is in front for Brian Cooper. King's Palace now being driven hard. Southfield Theatre is coming, trying to come back at them though. Then comes Wounded Warrior staying on. Adriana de Mott doing her best work as well. Here's two out. Don Poley up towards it and over from Southfield Theatre. A persistent threat on the inside. Wounded Warrior, Adriana de Mott not out of it. One more fence to go. Don Poley just from Southfield Theatre, and then comes Adriana de Mott, Wounded Warrior. Don Poley though, one thing he does is stay, and he's pouring it on, turning on the afterburners up the hill here. Don Poley is going to maintain his unbeaten record over fences, and it's another one for Willie Mullins, this one for Jiggin Sound and Brian Cooper. Don Poley far too good in the RSA. Southfield Theatre second. Then came Wounded Warrior back in third place, just in front of Adriana de Mott. If in Doubt, who stayed on, King's Palace well beaten, as was the young master.
So a win again for Willie Mullins. That following on from his brilliant opening day was win number five. Brian Cooper in the saddle on the 13-8 favourite. So that was the highlight, I suppose, in terms of the novice chasers on day two. Windsor Park had been pretty good for Dermot Weld in the opening novice hurdle, but the next big novice race, without question, was the JLT Novices Chase on the Thursday. Willie Mullins saddled Vautour, who'd already won at the festival 12 months ago. Ruby Walsh was on board the 6-4 favourite. But I think for many of us, we've never seen a novice jump round Cheltenham quite like this one.
Three from the finish. Vautour up and over safely. A mistake from Colour Squadron at the rear of the field. Giving chase to Vautour is Apache Stronghold as they head towards the home turn. Two fences to jump. Vautour bowling along in front, and all of his opposition are in problems now. Apache Stronghold is in second. Iris Saint in third. Valsolido, the maroon jacket on the left, is running on. Petit Zig behind this, but Vautour at the second last. A massive leap. Got over it by four or five lengths. Valsolido has moved into second position as Vautour approaches the final fence with a commanding advantage. He jumped it safely. The race is his, and Vautour is going to record a second Cheltenham Festival victory in his career. He's clear as he races up the hill. There's a bunch up for second position, but there's no doubt that Vautour is another winner for Ruby Walsh. Second position, it's going to be on the nod. Apache Stronghold and Valsolido. Irish Saint has just held fourth from Patizzi.
Well, it was breathtaking. There's no way, no words other than that to describe it. But clearly, as you can hear from Willie Mullins' reaction, he thought it was something extraordinary.
Ruby's absolutely buzzing. I mean,
I've never seen him quite like this.
He's as high as the horses, I think, after coming in there. And you know, I suppose we thought a fair bit of the horse. We thought a lot of. I thought he was my best horse out of here last year, and he just hasn't lived up to that during the year. He won his first race nicely, came back disappointed at Christmas because his muscles were all wrong. Probably shouldn't have run him, but I think I was in Kempton that day. we won another race with him, three-horse race, but he did beat a grade one winner there, but we still thought there was a lot left to get up to the mark he was at last year. So I just got stuck into him the last 3 weeks. And every day I went out to work him, we worked him hard. It paid off. I mean, when you do that, you might break them, you know. You're risking injury and everything like that, but we did work him hard. But it's what he needed. He probably has so much ability. He's not doing any work when you just work him along with other horses. And
you've got to push him the extra mile.
You've got to push him, yeah. And it's worked. I mean, I thought that was a spectacular performance.
It was a spectacular performance. And I put it to Ruby afterwards. I don't think I've ever seen a novice jump as well around here.
Well, possibly not, I don't know. But it was, you know, yet the whole thing was over. To me, last year, I thought he had the race over by the time he was passing the winning post here the first time. But this year, obviously, your chase is different. But, I mean, it was put to bed coming around the last bend. All he had to do was jump the last two. And I imagine, can't imagine what was going through Ruby's mind, thinking of any power with nothing to do, only jump to win. But I think today he was just very positive on him over the last two. And it paid off.
It certainly did pay off. He's being talked about and he's getting quotes for next year's Gold Cup. Presumably, long term, you think he could be that good?
Well, he is that good. He is that good. I mean, that was a performance, you know, it was like the horse yesterday. People are wondering, would he stay? But I think Robin Isham stay. You know, he definitely were going down the Gold Cup route.
Yeah. Quite a few novices for the Gold Cup route next year.
Well, you need them. I mean, look at how hard it is to keep chasers, to get chasers to that standard. Every year, you know, we could start off the year with maybe 50 bumper horses and 50 hurdle horses, and they're the ones you're hoping that you might get a Gold Cup out of. You might get one Gold Cup horse out of that 100 horses, or maybe one out of every five, you know, 100 horses every year for 5 years, you might have one good enough. That's it. So when you think you have one near that mark, you just go for it. That's my attitude anyhow.
One final question on Vautour. As far as the ground is concerned, he obviously appreciates this. Does it all come along to him, or does he prefer a bit of better ground?
Probably, I mean, he's strong enough for soft ground, but probably better ground would suit him better. Certainly he's got a fantastic action, and just see the way he skips around there in that ground. Even though he's a huge horse, a big horse, I would actually run him on much better ground. I would, you know, he's a lovely action, and you know, I think he'd handle soft ground, but it probably this ground and drying ground would be better for him.
It was a fantastic performance. We're still getting our breath back after that. Well done.
Same here. Thank you.
Well, Willie Mullins enjoying that success of Vautour. He also referred to, of course, the horse in the Giggenhaus stud colours of Don Poli that he also trains. These two will be, if all being well, up and ready to take on Konigree in next year's Betfred Cheltenham Gold Cup. Matt Holmes of the Gold Cup sponsors is with me on Cheltenham Radio. Wow, what a prospect in the making if these three come, and these three novices, and one of them's a Cheltenham Gold Cup winner, go head-to-head next year.
Yeah, I mean, I was mightily impressed with Don Poli on Wednesday. He was off the bridle a little bit, but he scooted clear up the hill, and as soon as that crossed the line, I thought, 2016 Betfred Cheltenham Gold Cup winner. And then, less than 24 hours later, I was frighteningly good with Vautour, measured at his fences, and, you know, again, strolled up the hill without Ruby Walsh moving a muscle. And the elation on Ruby Walsh's his body language as he crossed the line, punching the air. He had a grin from ear to ear all the way up the horse walk. You know, that we were here to witness something really special on Thursday.
So you said then, 2016 Cheltenham Gold Cup winner. Now, you've seen the 2015 Cheltenham Gold Cup winner win as a novice, first since 1974, Mark Bradstock taking the brave route, which turned in the end to be the obvious rate. But he ran his rivals ragged. They couldn't get a blow in. And 2016 winner, what do you think?
Well, I say we move on to Friday. Wow. Konigree, you know, he had them off the bridle a long way out. There were some very, very good horses there that couldn't live with the pace. I mean, turning for home, well, sorry, top of the hill, there was probably only six horses in with a chance who were still travelling. He's had them strung out like, you know, washing on a windy day, and he's still a novice.
It was just an extraordinary performance. Willie Mullins, eight winners at the festival. Ireland having a terrific overall, but Willie Mullins grabbing it. Two on the final day. He had a Wicklow Brave, who just scooted up at 25-1 in the county hurdle. And then he took the Martin Pipe Conditionals jockeys hurdle. 18-year-old Luke Dempsey riding Killatulla Vic to success. 8 winners. Sum that up.
Oh, it's a magnificent performance, isn't it? Obviously, all record-breaking. He started on the first day, 4 winners, and he's just not looked back from there. And it's just been an absolutely unbelievable performance.
And sum up what AP McCoy has meant to you first, but obviously the memories from this year's festival.
Well, obviously, as a bookie, he's cost us a few pounds down the years, but there was without doubt we're going to miss him. I mean, the reception that he received here on Thursday with Nuxa Zandra into the winner's enclosure was absolutely breathtaking. That was something that lived with me for a long time. And even on his final race there, I've never heard a horse that finished fourth get such a reception as he did when he came into the paddock.
There was quite a lot of tears in the paddock after that final race. Sadly, the Scudamore's victory of Next Sensations got lost and will get lost in the mist of time, but take nothing away. AP McCoy tried his heart out. It has indeed, Matt, thank you, been the most fantastic festival. But in the end, I suppose, the novices have completely dominated proceedings. Well, we're going to finish, unfortunately, now. If you're stuck in your cars, we've done our job here at Cheltenham Radio on 87.7M. It's been an absolute pleasure bringing you the action from this year's festival, because every day produced highlights that will live long in the memory. I think this is going to go down as one of the great festivals, because I think what it has produced in terms of the potential of so many of the winners. Looking down the list of that roll of honour, Duvin, Undersow, Verheen from the first day. On the second day, Windsor Park might indeed go and try and win the Ascot Gold Cup at the Royal Meeting, trained by Dermot Well. Dom Poli, real old-fashioned sort of staying type, taking the RSA chase. Vautour blowing them away in the novice chase. And then for good measure in the Triumph Hurdle, Nicky Henderson saddling the first three home. But ultimately, it is all about Coney Gree, the novice, the first for 41 years, running them into the ground. And we're going to leave you with the memory of Coney Gree at 7-1, giving the Bradstock family the best day of their racing lives.
Three out in the Gold Cup. Coney Gree, Road to Riches. Jack Adam, the youngster on the inside. Then Holywell on his own. Sylvia Narco Conti can't go on. Carlingford Lock trying to stay on. Then Many Clouds and Coney Gree gallops on remorselessly. Leads by 2. Road to Riches with 2 to jump. Jack Adam and Holywell. Nicoda Boinville and Coney Gree lead by 2. Towards the second last. Road to Riches driven along. Jack Adam in 3rd. Then Holywell in 4th place. Behind these on his own, Coney Gree jumping, standing the test at the moment. Road to Riches trying to launch a challenge. Jack Adam on the inside. Coney Gree carried towards the last by the roars of the crowd. Comes in one final leap over from Road to Riches and Jack Adam. And now the hill for the novice, Coney Gree. The jumping's behind him, wandering to the right on his own. Jack Adam on the far side. Coney Gree off a straight line, still in front. Jack Adam on the far side. And Coney Gree, inexperienced, no object, a novice, the first for 40 years, won the Gold Cup. Coney Gree beat Jack Adam. 3rd place for Road to Riches, Holywell on his own, Many Clouds, and behind the Smart Place.
This is Cheltenham Radio.
So now they make the run towards the top of the hill. They have 3 more flights of hurdles to take.
It's another one for Tom Skew and David Pike.
And Lord Windermere has won the Gold Cup.
You're listening to Cheltenham Radio online and on 87.7 FM.